Welcome to Partners and Pals. Your guests today are your hosts today.
Host.
Yeah. And Jeff.
Yeah.
Jeff Polk is here, everybody, from the Leo.
Yeah. Woo! Yeah.
Thank you for... He will be interviewing me and Sean on behalf of the response. And but we do have some news we're going to get to first, right?
Oh, yeah. Some things have happened. Derek Chauvin got stabbed.
Oh, yay!
That's the shit.
Yeah, he got stabbed like 17 times.
Yeah.
They sent him to the hospital and then put him right back in the same prison.
Yeah.
Good.
That was the shit. I couldn't believe he was out in general population, you know?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you knew that shit was going
to
happen.
I know. That's awesome. I hope it happens again.
He's going to have to be in PC, but they can still get to him. All it takes is a guard turning their head.
Yeah. I guarantee everybody in that fucking prison is wanting to get at him.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Just as you'd come in there as a cop, especially somebody that just fucking murdered somebody.
Yeah, you're dead.
Yeah. That's your ass, I guess.
And the fame you get if you kill the motherfucker.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You'd be out everywhere.
Oh, you're the king of prison.
Fuck yeah. You're getting everybody's fucking cigarettes and
shit. Yeah, yeah. Yellow cups all over the place.
Dude, Zabo's all ramen. Ramen and, oh, yeah, dude.
Dude, I'd kill him just to get cigarettes and snack packs, like little chocolate puddings. Oh, man.
Yeah, he got fucked up. And then some white broad in Connecticut shot into a police station and nothing happened to her.
That was some crazy shit.
Like, I mean, she got arrested, but she didn't get shot at.
Yeah, which is real shocking.
Yeah, I mean, you can see the video, too. Like, it's
I imagine if you're white in Connecticut, the police are like, okay.
Yeah.
Just Barbara having an episode.
As a black dude, you'd had every cop in the
firing.
Surrounding states have been coming in.
Oh, yeah. A black guy just stopping in to ask for directions. Everybody get him!
DEA, fucking FBI, ATF, all just swarming.
I mean, Connecticut's like the whitest place in the world, right? I mean, I've never been, but I just imagine.
I went there once. It was white.
We drove through there once. But, yeah, it was all white people.
Yeah.
That whole fucking...
I mean, it just sounds white.
Yeah.
Connecticut.
Yeah.
I'm from Connecticut. Right, yeah.
And it's spelled like Connecticut. So they named a state after like a puzzle piece.
What?
So. And, so y'all heard about the Tupac thing, Keefe D getting arrested. The guy who's in the... ever since this happened, ever since Keefe D got popped and arrested for the murder of Tupac, all this stuff about P. Diddy's been coming out. There's initial, during the Tupac investigation, there's like a, first there's $1 million payment that went to one of the other guys in that Cadillac, like Keefe D's nephew. And it was from P. Diddy to him, but it was never really like accounted for as in like what that payment was for. Mm-hmm. So it's suspected that had something to do with it. But the real crazy thing is now all these lawsuits are coming out against Diddy. Cassie, some singer, and I think she's, Cassie Ventura got a settlement. They didn't say how much, but Diddy had to pay that up for sexual abuse, rape, years of abuse, forcing her to bang male sex workers while he touched himself. I'm not making this up. This is all, man, now this is all tabloid shit. Blew up a guy's car who was interested in her. And then there's a fucking lawsuit that claims that Diddy was participated in the gangbang of a 17-year-old way back in the day. And then he is also suspected in ordering the torching of Kimora Lee Simmons's home because she knows about like his dead ex-girlfriend or something.
Really?
Yeah. And now there's like more settlements coming out in court. And this shit's in court. It's actually...
He's crazy, dude. For real.
But I've just been caught up with it. And, the 90s.
Yeah.
I didn't really like P. Diddy, but still, it's nostalgic.
Yeah. A few years ago, did you hear about when he smacked his son's football coach or something like that?
No.
Or he like kicked somebody's ass. Like one of his like sons like was coaches his mouth or open something.
When he kicked his ass?
Probably. He probably like,
also supposedly beating on some other I don't know. It's all coming out now, so I don't even know what's true and what's not. But that's the stuff that made it to like the New York courts and
damn.
Stuff. So Diddy's in trouble now.
Uh-oh.
And you know, you better hope Biggie's mom doesn't get a hold of him. She thinks he was behind that too. So
I don't think he did that to Biggie, dude. Biggie was his meal ticket.
Mm-hmm.
Like yeah, P. Diddy wouldn't have been shit without Biggie, though.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
And
with Biggie and Faith Evans and Lil' Kim and.
And I believe that Puffy actually loved Biggie too. I believe they were like for real, like homies. Like, I don't think he did it. I don't think he had anything to do with it. I think he had something to do with Tupac.
Yeah, I can see that for sure.
Just like Suge Knight had something to do with Biggie.
Yeah, I mean, that's probably his payback.
Yeah. Yeah. Because Biggie was shot out in California.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. And he was getting phone calls while he was out there, too. Like, yeah, you fat ass in leaving L.A., motherfucker.
Yeah.
Almost said what I heard.
That for real?
Well, yeah.
Oh, you almost said the exact words they said.
Yeah. Yeah. Have you seen the movie Notorious? Did y'all watch that? The Biggie story?
No.
It's a biopic, dude. It's good. I liked it. I really enjoyed it. Like, it was really cool. It showed a lot of stuff with him and, like, him starting, like, and, like, you know, him selling, like, crack and shit, like, when he was a teenager.
I bet he's the most huggable, lovable crack dealer ever.
Yeah.
Yeah, he didn't look real threatening.
Yeah. He was all huggy bear with his crack sales.
Side note, though, I love Biggie, though.
Oh, I didn't
see shit, man, back in the day, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's all I really had.
Yeah.
I got a few little quick bites. One of the members of Hall & Oates put a restraining order out on the other member.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, which...
Was it sexual?
No, I don't think it was.
Oh, man.
I think it was had to do with music or something like
yeah.
that.
Yeah. Yeah, it sucks. Like well, I mean, I don't really like Hall & Oates, but that just sucks, though. They worked together for so long. And
yeah.
I'd like to see him battle it out, you know, on a reality TV show where they have to live together with, like, Wilson Phillips. Those five in the same house and just see what happens.
Willem Dafoe has signed on for Beetlejuice 2.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. So that's going to be... I'm so excited for Beetlejuice 2 anyway.
I'm nervous that they're going to fucking ruin it, you know?
It's everybody that... It's Tim
Burton. It's going to be the light coming to America, too.
Yeah.
Like, we'll have Gary Busey instead of Wesley Snipes.
Yeah.
It'll be cool. It'll be all right. I think it'll be nostalgic.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. At least be worth watching.
Okay. Oh, yeah. I'll see it. See it in theaters. Unless it's one of those that are streaming in theaters right away, because I'd rather just stay at home.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, is he going to play, like, Beetlejuice's brother? Like, they haven't, Uncle Juice or something?
They're not announcing what his role is yet. They're keeping it under wraps.
I wonder if it's sexual.
Aqua Teen's back. That's really all I got for that. And the last thing is we here at Partners and Pals would like to pay tribute to one of our television heroes, Norman Lear.
Yeah.
101 years old and made some of my favorite shows of all time.
All in the Family, Good Times.
Sanford.
Jefferson.
Basically on TV back in the 70s.
Yeah, everything was like, Norman Lear.
Yeah, he was the HJIC.
I still watch Sanford and Son like every night, dude. I love it.
Have you ever seen Baby, I'm Back, Lamont's show after Sanford and Son?
No.
Never even heard of this.
It's. I think they only did a season, but I don't know if that season aired.
No.
But
looking it up.
It's got, it's on YouTube.
Yeah.
It's not very good, but I was happy to see Lamont.
Yeah. But, I don't know. He wasn't really that. He kind of brought the show down, I thought. So it was all about Red Fox on that show. And, what's her name?
Oh, Esther.
Yeah. She was the best.
Dude, you ever hear her stand-up? Like before she.
No, but I heard. I heard it was good.
She was fucking filthy as fuck. Oh, really? It was like way back when. I'm sitting there thinking, back when I was a kid, I'm hearing fucking Dice Clay and Sam Kinison and shit. Yeah. I'm thinking like, oh my god, this is filthy. No, she was 10 years before them. She was doing shit filthier than they were.
Really?
Oh, if you gotta hear her stuff,
I'll look it up. Fucking yeah. Funny shit. I know that's why he like put her on the show since they used to do stand up together and shit.
Yeah, because he used to be filthy too.
Yeah. Oh yeah, he was like one of the first like dirty comedians.
Yes. Yeah.
Like, yeah, his shit was. I even heard like an interview once where he's like, "I put the extra X in my name because of my nightclub act." like, yeah.
One time he was on Carson. And Johnny Carson was like, I heard you grew up really poor, Red Fox. And he's like, man, I was so poor that if I hadn't been a boy, I'd have had nothing to play with. He did that on the King of Late Nights show.
He's, I got a couple of his albums. They're actually my mom's. So, I mean, they're fucking funny,
though. MF Records.
Yeah. But that shit was funny, man.
Oh, dude, Red Fox is the king.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's all I got.
That's all I got in terms of news,
I got nothing. I didn't think about it. You know? All right, well, y'all ready to start doing some interviewing here?
Yeah, sure. Right. We're the response.
This is the response, yes. I'm here with the two guys that do Partners and Pals. I don't know if you've ever met them before. You know?
And yeah.
That's us.
But anyway, so how'd the band come together?
You want to take it or you want me to take it?
You're better at taking it.
I'm also better at giving it. I'm going to give it. It basically like COVID happened and this podcast happened and I wanted to do more.
This podcast had a lot to do with it.
And then I start going back to shows when stuff started to, and I just start itching and I saw Trey out and I was like, man, I bet Trey won't do a second band with me and stuff. And I've been trying to talk him into it forever, Sean, into it. And it just kind of, we were just going to originally just, like, get together, play, like, some old songs from, like, Vagrant Stickies and Ants. And it just evolved into the response.
I mean, I know you all met, like, 100 years ago. How did y'all know Trey and how did y'all get him in
there? We met Trey like a few years later, like what, 2000?
Yeah. Okay. I mean, yeah, Trey was in the Sickies and with
me. He was with the Shanks.
Yeah, he was in the Shanks.
Already in that, they were starting to play out when we kind of met him.
Yeah,
they just started playing out and I fell in love with them because they were the only band in Louisville that sounded just like the Queers. So I was like, yeah, and they even did a queer song, so we became friends, like, instantly.
And you go, is any of this shit online? Let me check them out. I can't even
remember. The Shanks is on Bandcamp.
Yeah.
I can't even remember.
Oh, they're
I think I saw them.
Great.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you look up Bandcamp, like, the picture, you gotta look up the Shanks, Louisville, Kentucky, and there's a picture of, like, a drawer of knives or something.
Oh, okay.
There's a bunch of bands called the Shanks, so it's kind of a search.
Yeah.
I might just send you the link. All right. But they recorded quite a bit of stuff, even though they only released, like, one of the recordings.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I was gonna ask, what all bands was everybody in beforehand? Yeah, there's a list, that's what I was gonna go.
Yeah, I mean, I was in Ants in an Argument and
Yay.
Lady Killers and like Perilous Derelicts for a little while. And
I was in the Vagrants, Living Dead Brigade, the Welfares, and the Sickies. And, since Trey's not here, he was in a lot of bands. But
I mean,
he was in Reagan Youth.
Yeah.
Our drummer was the singer for Reagan Youth.
Also became the main drummer for the Sickies. He took over on drums for the Sickies, like, pretty shortly. Like, within, like, 7-8 months of us really hanging out.
The drummer that we had was a little bit younger and could always make stuff. So Trey was, like, always there to, like, you know, jump in. And then it just got to the point where Trey was like, I'm just going to permanently join the Sickies. And, yeah, so we parted ways with the other gentleman.
But, yeah, he was with, Saint Street Brawlers down in Austin. And then, of course, Reagan Youth, One Dead Cop, Played with Bosco and
Jim Harrelson.
Jim Harrelson, yeah, he's been in a bunch of bands.
Yeah, Trey's been in, I think, like 18 or 19 bands. Yeah. And our new bass player, Drew, yeah, he hasn't been, he's been in other bands, but he hasn't really, like, played a show since, like, 10 years ago until we played with him recently.
Yeah, he's really good, though. Yeah,
how did y'all go about finding him?
Actually, he Glenn knows
from Jim Harrelson. Jim Harrelson brought him to us.
Yeah, he hit up Trey and was like, hey, you need a bass player. My buddy's a bass player and needs a band. And we tried him out and was a little nervous because Alien J's got some big shoes to fill. And but Drew
filled them.
Oh, yeah, he brought it. He does it his own way. He doesn't play like anybody that's played with us before. And
yeah, all three main bass players that we've had like have all been completely different in their styles. Uh-huh. Like Danny was more strictly root notes, and Jay had his style and he applied his bass lines, and now Drew has what he's doing with it. So it's definitely, it sounds different, but not so different that, you know, but
yeah,
you know, he plays with his fingers though.
That's what I was gonna say.
So there's definitely like that aspect, and he kind of has that persona of, like, you know, like the bass player, the Ohio players, or P-Funk, you know, yeah, the tall, cool bass player.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or like Cool just... in the Gang's case, the very short, cool bass player, but he's definitely got that bass player vibe to him.
Yeah.
I thought he brought out your all sound a lot when I saw y'all live the other day. Because with just playing with his fingers, it just brings a fucking whole new...
It does. And on certain songs, like, I feel like I can, like, on our song Jada, like, I feel like that song, like, pops a whole lot more now because the way he plays. Yeah. And,
yeah. And I think he's helped bring, like, L to life.
Yeah, he's... Yeah, he's definitely... I mean, in my opinion, everybody in this band has their own style, and it blends really well together. Yeah. And I'm really glad that we found Drew. So
yeah, he's been really good. He's pretty much got the whole set down. Like, we've maybe got a couple songs to go over, but he's a pretty quick learner.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. He was into it, man. He was nailing.
Yeah, he's awesome.
And then the current tracks y'all got out, We Them Boys and With a Response. Tell me a little bit about those. What inspired those? What's up with the lyrics?
Well, don't you talk about We Them Boys.
All right. Well, We Them Boys...
get deep with it.
It was... so, basically, I have one line from that song that I came up with at work like 8 years ago, and that's...
I left a stain on your left... Oh, no, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I rode deep like a Oompa Loompa. You can find me under your girl's fupa. That was...
philosophical line.
Yeah.
And I wanted to do something with that, and I went and saw Judas Priest with my brothers in Cincinnati a while back, and on the way back, I was just like... I was trying to, like, fucking... It's right when we formed The Response. And I was, like, trying to, like, build a song around that line. And it's very influenced by, like, old dirty hip-hop. Like, you know, like, Two Love Crew, Eazy-E, and ODB. But it's honestly very more inspired by, like, the new generation of thought rap. Like, Megan Thee Stallion and Cardi B. I use two of their lines. I use, like, a line from both of their songs and... We Them Boys, and it's just meant to be a dirty rap, like, it's written like a dirty rap song, but it's a dirty punk song that's pretty much just about busting nuts and smoking blunts. I mean, that's pretty much it's just about sex and weed, is pretty much, and how I smell bad sometimes. And that's pretty much the... synapsis is just synopsis. Synapsis. Synapsis. I don't know.
Jackie O Synapsis.
Jackie O. Yeah, that's pretty much it. It's just a fun song. I wanted a song that can kind of introduce us in a funny, dirty way. And just let everybody know, hey, we're here and we're going to smell like weed and our penises are hard all the time.
All the time.
Yeah. That's basically it.
Yeah.
And what about We're the Response?
Well, We're the Response is, I like how you said our mission statement.
Yeah.
It's about drinking hydrocodone and bitch smacking motherfuckers. And one time me and Big Drew went to a show that it was not like the most fun show, I'll be honest. But we went there and just made them let us set up a table and sell our wares. And we were just kind of, you know, hollering at all the girls. And yeah, and so, but it's just about being the response, about being cocky, but having a good time too, you know. It's a horn tutor, but with a touch of humility.
Not much, though.
No,
not much.
Not a lot, no.
Those are both fucking great songs, though.
Thanks.
Thanks on both of them are great, too.
And I promise those are the only songs about us and how awesome we are.
Yeah. So far.
Until
so
the next far. Song.
Yeah. Wait till the rest of the EP comes out. It's just going to be a concept album of how awesome we think we are.
So, yeah, tell me about the EP. Like, what's the name of it? How many songs? What songs are going to be on it? You want to divulge any of that yet?
Oh, Ran Through by the Response.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Cover work done by Rick Gideons at 5011 Media.
Yeah, I'm sure he was doing the work.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Rick does all our shit.
Five songs. The two that we just mentioned. And then it's going to have Suburban Vermin, I Want to Be a Mammogrammer, and Jada.
Nice. Nice.
And, that'll be out here in a couple weeks. It's almost, the mixing's almost done. Just gotta clean a couple little things up and upload it. And
yes.
You take care of that all yourself, right?
Yeah.
For all the mixing and everything.
Yeah. It just started happening. I just started messing with the tracks, and then after a little while, it's like, well, fuck, man, it's gonna be kind of weird to ask somebody else to mix it, but then direct them on what I want the whole time.
Yeah,
yeah,
it's almost better, if you could do it yourself, because you know exactly what you all want,
right?
And
Sean has a really good ear for that stuff, and he knows like the way he wants everything to sound with this band. Like, he's kind of the conductor, if you will, of this band. So, having him mix it is a smart move on our part. Very good. Pat myself on the back for that. Even though I had nothing to do with it. But we did.
Well, you all encouraged it. Y'all were like, you should do it, Sean.
You should. And it's turned out good so far.
Yeah.
Well, thank you.
Great.
Thank you.
And I do want to give a quick shout out, though. We recorded at the Church of Wax
with Cadillac Young,
who is the man for that.
I wouldn't be able to do shit with that if it worked for him. You know, he's got a great sound in his studio.
But you all were basically butt naked recording it. The music, yeah.
Yeah, him and Trey were in their underpants recording most of it.
Yeah, the Stones did that for Exile on Main Street.
That's what I heard.
Yeah, they did that shit in their drawers.
That's what
masterpiece that was.
It's just like, we're going to be like the Stones. We're going to get naked.
Yeah, and thanks for the giving us that Stones comparison. I really appreciate
thank
that.
You. Yeah,
no, you can hear that. You can hear the influence, the old school.
Well, this guy, I mean, this is like, if it wasn't for Keith Richards, Sean probably wouldn't be in this band. He probably wouldn't be playing music, honestly.
Yeah, I mean,
he loves that guy.
Yeah. Oh, fuck, the Stones early shit. You can't fuck with it, man.
And
it's fucking genius.
I'm newer to the Stones thing, but I am a huge, like, I've gotten a good amount of Stones stuff, but I can't listen to anything but Sticky Fingers right now. That's like been like my record by them for like the past 3 years. It's so fuck, everything on it's just killer.
Yeah.
So like, even the slow songs still rock. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah. You know, I used to think that album title meant like something else, not like having sticky fingers thieving, but the album, you know, with the zipper, and then you pull it off and there's some dude in his drawers, like, I was like, what the stick, dude, this is nasty.
Yeah.
And you know, because I was like 12, so my imagination ran wild with it.
Yeah.
And I thought it just meant like, you know, just whatever on their fingers.
Such a good record, though.
It's amazing, yeah.
All their other shit was, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, you all recorded a bunch of other songs. You want to talk about those? Shit, I can't talk.
We've got some other singles and then, like, another EP that we're going to put out. We've got plans for a single, like, a little while after the EP. Don't want to say how long, because I don't want to. But we're not going to make people wait too long. We've got enough to, like, stretch out over a little bit of time.
Yeah. Basically, when we went in, we recorded 12 songs, and we're releasing 5. In a couple weeks, so everything else is going to be we have one EP out. And everything else is going to be released as a single. So
well, yeah, we got but we'll have another EP too.
That's what I said.
Out of the batch,
I said we recorded another EP.
Oh, well. I thought you said you have one EP and then
one EP. Well, besides, have
two, yeah,
besides the one that we're putting
a total out. Of 2 EPs and some singles,
2 EPs.
Yeah.
Can you all talk about what songs you all recorded, or you can keep that secret until you are putting out the singles?
I mean, if you've seen us live, we've recorded pretty much everything that we play. Okay. So, like,
that's cool.
Carrie, L, Living Dead Tonight, Bojangle BJ, Assault on Precinct 13, that's all been recorded. Yeah. So, new stuff that we want to work on is really the only stuff that we haven't recorded because we just didn't have it together.
Yeah,
like if you haven't heard us play it live, then we didn't record it. But everything that we play live, with the exception of our covers, we don't really do any covers right now, but we did do Little Red Corvette. We have not recorded that. Once we figure out like how to do like do covers and not get fucking sued, we'll do that. But yeah, we don't know what the rules are with that. So
Paisley Park might come beat us up.
Yeah, I don't want to get beat up by Prince's entourage.
They'll take your purple suit. Man.
They will take my purple suit, dude. Or this might win them over. They might like come up and see me in this and be like, oh,
I like your velour tracksuit.
Yeah.
You know what? You look like a bottle of
Crown Royal.
Crown Royal.
Yeah, I get that constantly.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that is.
Yeah. It's literally the exact same colors.
This is a Crown Royal bag right here.
That's
and
what Donnie's wearing right now.
Damn. Yeah.
Crown Royal. I wonder what Donnie's wearing. He looks like a Crown Royal's bag with a god-awful shirt on.
Yes.
Yeah. That is nice. Is that a Puma or Adidas?
No, I don't know. Amanda got it.
Is that like some Russian one?
Feel
like,
it though. Feel how comfortable this is. Imagine that on your leg area.
Oh yeah, I bet that feels good. Oh,
I feel great.
Yeah, it looks nice, man.
It's very comfortable. Hey, here, did you feel it? No. Yeah, I feel it. It's it's very soft.
Is the inside like the interior soft? Yeah. See.
Oh man.
I was at the U of L store and they had these velour suits, Adidas ones, but the inside was like plastic.
Oh,
nylon.
Man.
I'm like,
what's the point?
I almost bought it too. I was like getting ready to buy it, and then I felt the inside. I'm like, no. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was like, I'm glad I didn't just drop 150.
Oh, yeah. Get some fucking plastic shit on the inside.
Oh, yeah.
Fuck that.
So, and you said, we already answered 2 of the questions I had for you. I was going to ask about the recording of the songs. We went over that. And I was going to ask about Rick doing artwork. So, Rick Gideon's awesome dude. Actually, he sent me the cover to your LCP, so I already saw it. But
oh, yeah.
I'll keep that on the demo. But the mascot, Randy, he pretty much appears everywhere. How did that come about? That's a pretty funny story.
He lived in Trey's backyard. He's actually a gray squirrel. But in the world of the response, he's a multicolored, multi-ethnic squirrel because we want to be inclusive.
Yes.
But he lived with these squirrels, like, Trey lived, like, right by the Jewish cemetery, and on the other side of the fence was a cemetery, and these squirrels lived in these trees, and there was one in particular that would come around when he'd feed them, and a few other ones would come around, but this one in particular, he could actually, like, feed out of his hand, and it just kind of became Randy, and, then we, I don't know, he ended up moving out of that house, though, so we haven't seen Randy in a long time, but we have a mascot, but we can't get anybody to volunteer to be it because it's so hot to put on the mascot suit. So
yeah, the It was basically like Trey made all these like social media posts about Randy the Squirrel, and then Rick just was like sitting in the office and was like, "Oh, you know what? I'm gonna." He's like, "What do you guys think about this for your logo?" And we're like, "Oh shit!"
Yeah,
it is a cool fucking drawing too.
Yeah, it really is.
Yeah, I like really that like thing. His renditions of Randy.
Yeah,
but yeah, I guess he's like our Al Testicle, like Sloppy Seconds,
yeah.
And
yeah.
All the other stuff.
He's your old Eddie.
Yeah, he's our Eddie.
Yeah.
I like how Rick drew him. I mean, there's all kinds of, if you look at him, there's all kinds of like little hidden shit in there.
Yeah.
Like Easter eggs and stuff.
You got like a Vagrant's patch. Mm-hmm. You got an Answers and Argument patch, 50/11. There's like a blocked out swastika. You got a joint. You got a double, I think that's a double deuce for squirrels. That doesn't look like a 40.
Yeah.
I don't know. What do you all think?
I think it's a deuce.
Yeah.
Okay. That's what I was thinking too. And he's got some pink kicks. I don't know who makes those.
I don't know, but I need some.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's a handsome guy.
Yeah. And then the show y'all got coming up on New Year's. Man, how's this coming out with the drag show?
Well, that was
interesting.
That was the original plan for it. And, but like 6 months went by and I didn't hear anything. And finally, the owner at Air Devils, like, as soon as I made a flyer and fully booked the show after not hearing anything, asked if we could make something happen. So I met with the person in charge of the drag acts. And since there's like, basically, like, since we don't really have to share a stage, the drag performers have like more room to work with going around the bar. We were able to figure it out to where not only can we have both, but we can have it like alternating, whereas instead of just having three bands play and four drag acts, you could have like three bands within the four drag acts, so it's all peppered in and it could be.
Oh, it's going to be fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I was going to ask what you can expect from this, because that just seems, I didn't know how you all were going to, like you said, I didn't know how you all were going to work that out.
Yeah. Well, I had to meet up with Julian, and, you know, he was like, you know, the drag acts don't necessarily need the stage. So, you know, so there's a, so we figured out a way to just kind of keep it going without anybody, you know, without like set up or tear down interfering with the drag acts or vice versa.
Yeah.
So, and if we backline the drums, then that'll, and some of the amps, that'll make it even easier. But, yeah, I think it's going to be, it's going to be fun.
Oh,
yeah.
Dude, this is going to be awesome.
Free.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it's free, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
21 and over, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So make sure everybody knows that. But it's, yeah, that's going to be a fun show, man. That's going to be a trip.
And we got Creeps, Inc.,
yeah.
Us, and FMK.
Yeah.
It's, yeah,
a whole lineup.
Yeah, it's going to be, it's going to be a lot of fun. And, yeah, like, my big thing is, like, to me, like, a punk drag show, like, this is punk as shit.
This, like, could if this be like Max's Kansas City.
Yeah, yeah, dude, if this was a show, if this show took place in 79, people would still be talking about it.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like, I'm really looking forward to this. And we're going to put on a fucking hell of a show, because we got to stand out with all that's going on.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That night. Not just that night.
We ordered some stuff for the show.
But at Air Devils alone, like, the other bands that are playing are fantastic. I mean, the drag acts are going to be fantastic. So, yeah.
We got some returning acts to Air Devils. Celine St. Clair and Jack's Icy Viper and Jander Fluid.
That's my favorite name out of all of them.
Great. Yeah. And, oh, shit. Hold on. Well, Jules is going to be, like, hosting it as Julian. And, fuck, there's one more. Hold on. I got it here. I don't want to leave anybody off.
Yeah.
That's the thing I love. There's some great drag names.
Yeah.
And Sir Lasher Lasher. Okay, that's who it is. But yeah, it's gonna be wild. I mean, they usually get like a pretty big crowd out.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. I think I think it'll be quite interesting.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I don't think anything like this has ever happened before.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, not that I remember.
No, no, but you would definitely remember if you saw a Punk and Drag Show.
Yeah, I mean, if it did happen, it happened a long time ago. Yeah. I know the end tables were known for wearing drag.
Yeah,
and
I heard about that.
Like some of those old shows, like would have drag performers and stuff. So I don't know. It might be, but it'd be. I don't know. I'm looking forward to it.
Oh yeah, that's gonna be
the only like the thing that's like a bummer to me is don't give away your secrets.
No, I'm just. They're nuts.
And the only thing that's gonna suck about this show, really, or about playing this show, is like. We're going to be running around doing stuff. It's going to be hard to catch as much as I want to.
Oh, yeah.
But for the people that aren't...
And I got a run sound.
...playing the show, like, y'all are going to have fun. We're going to have
a blast. Yeah. We'll be working, but it'll be fun. We'll be working for the people.
Yeah, until after we play, and then I'm just hammered, and then I'm just sitting there with all the drag queens hanging out, smoking blunts with the drag queens. Why not?
Smoking blunts.
But I'm just, how's it going to work? Like, I mean, that's what I was trying to figure out. Like, are you all going to play for a little bit and then they're going to come up and sing for a minute or what?
They are going to do, okay, it's going to start off with one drag act, and each drag act is going to do like three songs.
Okay.
Now, there's also going to be a host who's going to do like a couple songs initially. So it'll be the host, Jules, and then the first drag act. They're going to do like three songs, and then it'll be FMK. They'll play a set, then the next drag act, then the response, the next drag act, and then it'll be like Ringing the New Year's, and then Creep Sync will go on, and there should be there's another drag act after that, I plan on having things set up so like if they want to continue and do like karaoke afterwards or whatever they can, you know. It should be over by like 1 at the latest. But you know, people still be hanging out, so it's not really over.
So there's a chance there might be karaoke after the show.
It depends. Yeah, it's kind of up to the owner and her daughter. But you know,
because I'll be there all night. I'll be there till Phil has to escort me outside
again.
Yeah, again.
Yeah, we could stress Phil out a little bit. And make sure y'all tip your bartenders. Y'all, the crowd's been really good about tipping bartenders up at ADI.
It wouldn't be the first time that Phil was like, buddy, I love you, but it's time to go.
Yeah. That's exactly what he says.
Yeah.
Buddy, I love you. Where you're like, can I please pee outside?
Yeah.
It's like, no, there's a bathroom.
I actually got thrown out of another bar that night for pissing outside.
You were really insistent on peeing outside that night. It was
nice out.
I get it, but you know, you just don't have to announce it. You can just go do it, and then nobody'll know.
Yeah.
I mean, there's something about
baby,
getting
I
busted.
Got a flare.
I've been busted pissing. I can't say anything. I've been tossed out Third Street Dive for peeing.
I don't know where that place is.
It was just pee.
Yeah.
Is that place even still around anymore?
It's still there. I tried to go up there a couple years ago. I stayed a night in the hotel down there while they were like redoing. It was the hottest day of the year, and they're redoing like the AC in here. And I, you know, of course I'm Jewish, so I complained until the landlords agreed to give me a hotel room that night. Or reimburse me for one. So I stayed out and I was drinking and I was trying to find an open bar and I tried to walk into Third Street Dive. Their shit had like shut down their computers, like they weren't taking cards, their register wasn't working. But I was wearing my tracksuit and these dudes at the door were like, are you Russian? Like, are you like, do I fucking sound Russian? But I'll be honest, I was kind of flattered. I was like, they think I'm a Russian troublemaker. That is amazing.
Yeah, I haven't been there in years, man. I don't even remember the last time I was there.
Been a while.
Yeah, I've never had good luck in there. It's always But by the time when it opened, that's when like just everything was a problem in my life. So I couldn't be going out. That's like when I couldn't go out to a bar without something happening.
Yeah.
So I'll take responsibility.
I spent a lot of time there when the Welfares, we played there a lot with the Kodiaks, and so I would...
That's when that one guy who would have little coke parties with underage people owned the place. I'm going to say his name.
Did he own a pizza place?
Oh.
Yeah, you know what I'm trying to... But yeah, man, that was... They were cool when they first opened, though, because they had a lot of... A lot of punk bands, like
yeah.
The only place that was booking it at that moment.
Yeah, right. They were kind of strict for a while too, because they like you had to be, you had to look punk, because Lady Killers played up there and they wouldn't let us come back, but they had a bluegrass band that dressed like the Casualties play there.
No, the Welfares didn't let punk. We were welcome up there all the time.
Well, I mean, like I'm talking like the first 6 months, like it was open when.
I saw you all play there too.
Yeah, we played there like once, and like they didn't mind having ants up there, except when I peed. But it was just like, but when Lady Killers played, it was like more rock and roll, not really. It was kind of, you know, but yeah, it changed back to like a normal venue.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, so what do you all got planned next year? What's all going on with you all?
Ooh.
Y'all doing another big tour?
we are going to venture outside of the Ville a little bit.
We're trying to get some out-of-town shows lined up.
Nice.
And a spring Louisville show lined up.
We're going to be involved with something, not just the Response, but Partners and Pals.
Pals, yeah.
Is going to be involved in something very big next summer. So stay tuned for that.
Can you give any hints?
Can you give any hints at all?
Well, let's just say something from the 90s that I used to be involved with, I'm going to bring back this year or next year. And that's all I'm going to say.
Yeah. Revive a certain...
Something. A certain something.
Something.
JNCO jeans.
Yes. Yes. I'm going to be in my JNCOs just like the old days. Danny had the biggest JNCOs in the Vagrant, so...
Oh, Nick Goldring had some big JNCOs when he was in Ants the first year.
I remember when Danny was in the band and I sent an old picture of the Vagrants to the group text and Trey responded with, "God damn, Danny, save some JNCOs for the rest of us." Like, they were big.
Dude, those were like $60 too. Yeah, in the 90s.
I had a credit card for the buckle when I turned 18 and me and my friends all had JNCOs.
Yeah, I couldn't get JNCOs. Like, my family was like, "No, you're not. No, fuck that."
Yeah, no, I never had any either.
Like, you could get your own JNCOs. Oh, yeah, that's clothes, though.
Yeah, spend my own money on that. So, you all did do that tour of Kentucky.
Yeah.
Technically, how did that go, man?
It was fun. It was like...
That was a fun few weeks because we did... Like, a couple weeks earlier, we did the Death of Summer Fest in Cincy.
Oh, that was great.
And then, like, 2 weeks later, we played the Zanzibar with Tiger Sex and Indignant Few and Mommy Cigarettes. And then we went on that tour right afterwards, that three-day leg, and... it was fun. Lexington, there wasn't much of a turnout. It was a Thursday, but we did meet up with Some Kind of Nightmare, and it was really just to kind of like hang out with them and play music with them. And
we went out with Plague Nine too, by the way.
Yeah, it was us and Plague Nine all 3 days. First night was with Some Kind of Nightmare in Lexington, and the next one was in Cave City with Mongo at the Rocks Glass, and that was a lot of fun.
That was a cool venue.
It's a very cool venue. I hope they're able to get funding and reopen in a new place.
Cause yeah.
I guess the more conservative part of that community was trying to get them shut down via other investors and whatever. But, yeah, that was a lot of fun. And then the night after that, we played Dugtopia down in, it was like Elizabeth, Kentucky, right by Crofton, which is right by Hopkinsville. Yeah. So, Metro Hopkinsville. But it, yeah, us, it was us, Plague Nine, Dune City Villains, Death Mountain Spiders, God Awfuls, Eviler Knievler, Hans Condor, 1984. Tiger Sex was supposed to play, but they weren't able to do it. And then, oh God, somebody else, they're Blind Maggie, which is like a cover band. But there were also BMX expos, like, in between bands.
Yeah, I saw the videos real close. That looked cool as fuck.
Oh, it was. Yeah. And that burger truck was excellent.
Oh, yeah, they had a burger and, like, fried chicken sandwich truck. And I got sick, but I got sick from eating too much. Not because the food was bad. The food was excellent.
Oh, the food was great.
And they didn't run out like a lot of food trucks do.
Oh, yeah.
They were all night. Mm.
I had a lot of fun on that tour.
It was like, kind of like a big version of what we're doing New Year's Eve, but with BMX instead of drag.
Yeah, yeah.
It was bands, BMX. This is going to be like drag, bands. So, yeah. But it was cool. It was the second one, and they're working on doing a third.
That's cool. Yeah, that looked fun. Shit, I'm down for that one.
Yeah, I like, even if we don't play next year, I think we may go anywhere.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to get my tent back, and because I'd like to camp out down there and then wake up and see Stitch drinking coffee at 6 a.m. walking around. Next, I feel like he's the guy that gets up early with the cup of coffee when camping.
Yeah, that was yeah.
Like, he'd be the first guy you see after you get out of your tent and take a piss, and he, like, he's the other guy up. I feel like that, yeah. I feel like I missed out, but we were so exhausted.
Yeah, we...
I've never done more than 3 or 4 days on the road.
Oh, yeah, you all did, like, straight, didn't you?
Oh, yeah, we came back when we did
we Lexington. We came back from Lexington.
We came home, and then we all met up and went to Cave City, and then we stayed in Cave City, and we actually got a discount at the hotel because they're like, oh, you're playing the Rocks Glass. Oh, we love the Rocks Glass. And
cool. The first hotel we went into, there was a guy in an STP hat, and he's like, we're full.
As soon as he acknowledged us, he looked at us, and instead of saying, can I help you, he goes, we're full. And we're like, all right. And then, but at Dutopia, we wanted to stay.
He looked like the dude with the suspenders from Roadhouse. The guy that, yeah, you know what I'm talking, the one that the grizzly or that the polar bear falls on.
Yeah,
that was him.
We at Dutopia though, it was like we waited. We watched Plague Nine, and then we were just all like, "Let's go home!" Like we were so. God, we were exhausted after that, dude. And, like, yeah.
Eating edibles all weekend. Oh, that dude. That did not help.
Oh, dude. Yeah, that was what was cool about Dutopia. I, like, after we played, I just took, like, a handful of gummies and just, like, seriously just went and laid in the grass and listened to punk rock music. I'm like, this is so much fun. And then my anxiety kicked in. I was like, I need to go home. I haven't been home in days. But yeah. It was a blast, though. And Jay rode with the Plague guys. Jay was playing with them at the time. So it was just me, Sean, and Trey. And I had fun with you guys just hanging out and having sleepovers in the hotel and what have you. Like, that was cool.
Yeah. We hung out in our underwear together a little too much.
Yeah, we did. The one funny tour story, like, nothing wild happened, but when we were unloading for Dutopia, just out of nowhere, Trey looked at me and goes, I heard you laugh at your own fart in the bathroom this morning.
Yeah, he does that. You do that. You be laughing. Oh, I've heard you do that so many times living with you, dude.
They're so funny.
It'd be in the morning, and you're a... And just a...
Oh, it's funny, man.
It is funny, man. Yeah.
Where did the idea for you wearing the wrestling leotard come from when you play live?
Well, I'm a huge wrestling fan anyway, and I was just looking around. I was high on Wish one night, and I was like, I typed in wrestling, and it came up and went, oh, shit. I'm like, man, should I get this for our Zanzibar show? And she was like, oh, my God, yes. It was like $7. I'm like, I'm ordering it.
Yeah.
And I wore it for Zanzibar, and then basically Sean was like, that's permanent. And I'm like,
yeah.
All right.
That's a good call. That shit's funny as shit.
I love it.
Yeah. Hey, dude, it actually, like, I love where, like, at first I'm like, oh, it's so uncomfortable and I feel so exposed. But when we played Air Devils, it felt awesome to just be out there in just a unitard, and it wasn't hot like fucking like heavy pants and
t-shirts. I feel like you breathe out a lot more when you put that on too. Like just a husband breathes out all that extra area, you know, like you don't hold in your gut at all. You just let it relax.
Yeah. Well, I'm in the unitard.
All natural.
I'm at home in the unitard.
Yeah.
Yeah, you seem like you became a different character live, man.
Yeah.
You became somebody totally different.
Well, yeah, I wanted to up my stage presence a lot more. And we
figured tight pants would help us a lot.
Yeah, and actually, like I said, that unitard, man, I mean, you know how hot it is on stage. Oh, like, it sucks, but that unitard, man, oh, it's wonderful. It's like wearing nothing.
That's what I like about wearing leggings on stage, dude. Even they're thermals. They're actually thermals. I bought them as thermals, turned them into leggings. So, just so we clear that up. But yeah, it's like, dude, like with jeans, get all sweaty, and then your jeans weigh you down. Yeah. And plus, you got your keys in there and whatever else, you know. But just having just a thin layer of clothing on feels, it's just like a lot lighter. And I don't know.
It is kind of more of a character persona thing, too. I kind of want to switch.
Kind of glammy.
Yeah, I kind of want to switch myself up. Like, I mean, I'm cool with going up there and being me, but I want to be me, like, at, like, a 15. So,
like a Crystal Light commercial?
No. There's nothing light about me or my performance.
Crystal, heavy Crystal?
Big Chris.
Big Chris. Yeah, that's your refreshing drink.
Yeah, I mean, that's fucking...
Yeah.
What the fuck, wait, I think I ran through everything. Oh, how did this podcast come about?
That was one. COVID.
Pandemic, yeah.
Yeah. We were, and at the time I was, I took off work to do the stay-at-home dad thing since my kids were out of school. And I was going insane just being at home all the time. And Sean was like, you should just come over here and hang out. And we always were talking about doing a podcast. I went, dude, let's just fucking do the podcast.
And then we found out about Anchor. Like, Tony told Donnie about Anchor. And then we figured out how to do. And then I downloaded GarageBand. And then, we kind of started like that.
Yeah, what kind of plans y'all have for the future of this podcast? Anything big?
Baby steps, really. we still have like a very basic setup, and kind of need to upgrade the studio a little bit. I need to get in.
We have big plans for our next episode. It's gonna be our holiday special, a Food Court Christmas,
and it'll be our last episode of the season, won't it?
Yes, it will. And Jimmy Humphrey, our holiday correspondent, will be joining us.
Yes,
as well as our brothers in Plague Nine, and we're gonna go to the food court and do Food Court Christmas,
and you know, people watch and try not to judge because it's the season for giving, but we're gonna watch the security guards unfairly treat people.
I'm really like, this is just an excuse for me to go eat Chinese food.
I like the food court at St. Matthew's now. I like how it's all like ethnic food now and not just I mean, I liked the food court before, but like it seems like, you know, the Chinese food before like was really nasty, like Jade Garden.
Oh yeah.
And like now the stuff's kind of more edible.
J Mall would be better to go to because their Chinese food's better, but
and the butts are bigger.
The butts are bigger out of J Mall.
Yeah, I mean it's really whatever as long as it has a food court. I wish River Falls Mall were still open.
Oh yeah, that was a shit.
That was amazing. They had a merry-go-round, two movie theaters, all types of ticketed games.
That was fucking cool.
Yeah, that was good stuff.
Although I did go into. Wherever the fuck that is now, I can't even think. The fucking fish place.
Oh,
I can't think of it now. It starts with like a C or something.
Yeah, I know. It's on the tip of my tongue, and I cannot think of what it is. Fish it's place. Like Casa.
Yeah.
Casa Bonita?
Yeah. No.
Oh, no, it's from South Park.
Fuck.
Yeah, I can't
that's going to drive me nuts.
Yeah, I can't think of either. I just went in there once, and it was. They got a bunch of shit in there, man. They
had like, oh, yeah, my.
That's crazy shit.
My in-laws used to take our kids there when it opened to look at the fish and stuff.
Yeah. I don't even remember.
Cabela's?
Yeah.
Cabela's.
Cabela's,
yeah. Cabela's, Cabela's.
Cabela's, yeah.
I don't remember why the fuck I went in there. I just went like, in there just to look at it.
Oh, so it's like an aquarium place?
It's got, no, I mean, it's like a redneck fucking.
It's like a fishing store.
Oh, like Bass Pro Shop. Yeah, and shit. Yeah. Cool.
But it's like a mega Bass Pro Shop.
Yeah, it's all the hiking gear.
It's got, all that kind of shit. It's all that adventure type stuff.
I used to go to Quest all the time when I was like in Boy Scouts and camping all the time. Bass Pro Shop, that's pretty badass. I'm not ashamed to say it. I'm from Kentucky, and I think it's badder than fuck. Get a fucking sleeping bag. You survive fucking 10 below zero in that shit.
Get your gun, dude.
Get a gun and some boots and, like, a shirt with a wolf and a dagger on it. Fuck yeah.
The Native American gentleman in the back of the shirt.
With the wolf walking up from the side, Yeah, dude, wolves are badass.
Like an eagle soaring.
Indians are badass too.
Fuck yeah, Native Americans, please.
No, actually, they prefer to be called American Indians.
Oh, American Indians.
Okay. But whatever, yeah, white. I don't know. I'm not making up.
Look, man, I'm fully white, dude. I got to be careful what I refer to other races as.
I'm just going off what the internet told me.
Like my bloodline goes back to Germany and Austria and England, so I am going to call people whatever they want to be called. I got to.
I thought you were going to say I'm going to call people whatever I want to call them.
No, I will not.
People have been doing it for way too long.
I will not make. I will not make the mistakes of my ancestors.
Yeah. With the podcast, we're gonna restart in January with I think our first episode is Mongo.
Yeah,
Mongo will be our season 4 debut, and then we've got some other. I think we're gonna have Coxie's Army from Columbus on. Jake's Mistakes from St. Louis is gonna be coming through in March, so we're gonna have them actually on.
That's cool.
Whoever else we've.
Tiger Sex is coming on the show. I'm just saying that. Like, we've talked to them.
Oh, yeah.
And they want to. They're just busy as shit.
We're also working on doing something with, like, Local Overload.
Because
they've been really cool. They put on all types of bands on their show. Mm-hmm. And they've put on The Response and. You know, I'd like to have them on since that's like another podcast along with like Metal Forge. I'd like to have them back too. Metal Forge and Mark Jackson's band Overload. We're trying to get some metal bands and stuff too. Try to expand it a little bit.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
All the good heavy shit, anything that rocks, you know. Yeah.
And then what about The Response? You all have anything, not just next year, but down the line, is there anything you all are trying to accomplish, get done?
We want to work on some new songs, and I would like to record again this year, even if it's only like 4 to 8 songs. If Cadillac can do it, I think we could make that happen. But, like probably around 4 Louisville shows total. Yeah. Like, we've only got one booked and another one we're working on, and the other, you know, we kind of want to space those out, but we definitely want to do some out of town stuff. We're trying to swap with bands in Indy and Cincy and Columbus and Milwaukee. Hopefully that'll work. I mean, if I gotta do dirty stuff to make that happen, then you know.
So y'all are venturing out then.
Yes.
Yes.
I mean, at least, you know, on the weekends.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd like to eventually, like, do an East Coast run for, like, a few days.
Yeah.
And I realized we would probably have to take a week or 8 days off in order to get out there and get back.
Yeah.
But if we could do, like, a four-day run and, like, you know, hit, like, Boston, Connecticut, Metro New York, but maybe not dead in the middle of New York City, something like North Jersey or something, and like Philly or DC, something like that. That's like a goal, like to do within a couple of years. And if we can get the money together, it would be cool to play a couple of shows in England, but that's just that's wishful thinking down the road.
Yeah.
And that's it takes money. And
I just want to go record shopping in England so bad.
Oh, that'd be crazy. That'd be
so good. It's going to be so much good shit over there.
Yeah, I do like the adventures of going out of town, though. Even if it's not always like a good turnout, the adventure is usually fun.
Yeah.
And
well, the last tour was like a build-up to Dougtopia, which we knew was going to be a big deal, so...
But, I mean, I had fun in Lexington, even though, like, literally three people showed up to that.
I had fun. It was just... It was a Thursday show.
We were all tired from working that day.
Yeah, it just... You know, Friday and Saturday shows are just better. I don't want to expect people to come out on a Thursday, you know.
But I wish Sunday matinee shows would come back. So,
yeah, no.
That would be great, because, you know, those would end at, like, 7 at the latest.
Oh, yeah, you're home in time for dinner, dude.
Yeah, you'd go home for dinner and then, you know, watch a little TV, take a shower, go to bed, and, you know, still be halfway functional for Monday.
Yeah, yeah.
Yep, you go home in time. You get home in time for dinner in The Simpsons, and then you get ready to go.
But, yeah, hopefully, I don't know. We're also trying to see, look for, like, some all-ages joints and some places like maybe in South End of Louisville.
Yeah.
Because that's a whole, like, I know there's a stigma. People say, well, everybody down there is racist. No, they're not.
No.
Yes, there are a few people down there, but, like, there's a lot of people down there that want to go to shows. And every time we, like, over the past couple decades where we played consistently in the South End, there's always a dedicated following.
Yeah.
Of people who just wanted to go out and have a good time. Yeah. So, like, you know, try to, I guess, explore some more nooks and crannies in the city.
As a South End man, I would appreciate that.
I'm not gonna lie, I got a little frustrated, like, because it does take a lot of work to get people to come out to Louisville. Oh, it takes some finessing, and, but, I mean, there are people here, like, who do go out to things, even if it's like not all the time or not as many, you know. Like out of the shows we normally go to, there's roughly what 40 to 60 core people that go out, even if not all the time. But then there's all those people in the South End and Indiana too, mm-hmm. that it's just kind of getting to them. That, you know, that's it's just kind of hard to set up shows down the South End right now because there aren't any places. And I mean, Indiana's got a couple places, but it's just a matter of just kind of tying that all together.
Yeah.
Because there are numbers, it's just, you know, a way of finagling it, I guess.
Yeah. Get to the people, like you said.
Yeah.
So that's all the questions I got.
That's cool. Well, shit, how's anything going on with the meat shower?
Actually, we're probably not going to be called that now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we don't have a band name now, but I think we'd all agree. That was never really all that serious to begin with. It just kind of stuck. But then Fitz, you know, he came in and he was, you know, he's never been a big fan of it. And the more we had to talk about it, it's like, well, we kind of need to come up with something we're all going to agree on.
Right.
We're all like, but I mean, we're kicking around a few ideas, but I don't know what, we haven't come up with anything definite yet.
I heard a clip Fitz had of like one of your all's practices.
Yeah.
It
yeah.
sounded awesome. It might be like GG, but better.
It's more. It's kind of like the Perilous Derelicts and Christmas Side, that kind of shit.
Drunken Bastards and all that, You all going to bring some Drunken Bastards tunes back?
Oh, yeah. We're doing Promianta.
Oh, fuck yeah, dude. I was jamming down that on guitar the other day. I still remember how to play it.
That's cool. Yeah, no, we've been practicing that one, so that's coming out for sure. So we'll be jamming out. We've got, we pretty much got a set now. We got one song that we need to work out like the little kinks of it, and then I think we need one more, maybe one more song, two more tops, and then we should be, I mean, we'll have all set, we'll have 20 minutes easily.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
Yeah,
I'm ready. Yeah, I want to see you guys, and also want to see Spectre's band Shock Probation.
Oh yeah, Shock Probation, that's gonna be cool.
Yeah, that's gonna be,
I'm looking forward to hearing them.
Yeah, he came over a couple weeks ago, and I was helping him. He was just trying to, he wanted somebody to bounce some lyric ideas off of, and we got most of a song done. I mean, it's really him. I was just kind of helping him. It's really his lyrics, but you know, still, it's fun to be part of the process. It was nice to be asked. But there, yeah, I heard a little clip of their practice too, and I think that's gonna be awesome. It's gonna be a revival of, well, it's gonna be weird. It's gonna be like a grown up, responsible Christmas Society, Drunk Bastards, Perilous Derelicts, respect for women and family and shit.
It's gonna be a weird scene. It's all these old guys are still running around here doing all this shit, you know?
Yeah. But, I mean, there's people of all ages, I mean, ranging from like 20s up to their like 60s and people pushing 70 almost, I think. You know, I mean, there's a little division. It's kind of hard when you're an older band to be playing with bands that are in their teens. It's kind of hard to approach that and not come off as weird. Though, like, I'm open to playing with younger bands. I just don't want to be the guy who's like, hey, you all want to be pals? And then
like
thinking,
17-year-old.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, then people start saying I have, like, dead cats in my closet because, you know, I'll need that, you know. But if there's a conduit, then, you know, totally. But there are a lot of good bands. It's just, I guess, a lot of saturation and, you know, but it's better than not having bands.
Yeah, and there's a good amount of places to play now, and I mean, there's a lot of shit going on now.
And I think Spotify's helped, even though it's kind of taken the money-making aspect out of music.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of Spotify, but...
Yeah, I'm not a fan of it on that level, but I am a fan of the fact that you'll get thrown on any playlist as long as you, like, pump up your listens, and it... People can at least, like, people are going to buy the albums are going to buy the albums anyway. So, like, if you want to buy the album and not ruin it, you can listen to it on Spotify, and that's cool. But, yeah, Bandcamp obviously is, like, something where you can really be more supportive of the bands if they choose to charge for their stuff. But, yeah, I mean... I think I ran out of stuff.
My ibuprofen's wearing off of my neck.
Oh yeah, how'd you mess up your neck, dude?
Really, dude?
Yeah,
you didn't call me out. I already told you.
You should be proud, dude.
I either slept on it wrong or I gave very aggressive cunnilingus.
Dude, that's fuck yeah, dude! Don't be embarrassed and proud, dude. Fist in the air, dude. That's for the people.
Yeah, I mean, it's possible. I don't know. I'm trying to think that it's from performing oral sex because...
Anybody who breaks their neck performing oral sex deserves a Nobel Peace Prize.
It makes me feel better about my neck hurting, like, because I'm like, God, this sucks so bad. And it's like, maybe you did it from eating pussy. It's like, oh, well, then you know what? Then it's whatever.
Like, but where'd you get that scar from, eating pussy?
Yeah, well, it's like, if it's because I slept on it wrong, I'm just like, why? But if it's like, well, it could have been from that, so...
And then it's not, the pain's not as annoying.
Yeah, it's like, well, you know, you gotta do what you gotta do, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it's like an episode of Roadhouse. I watched Roadhouse twice while I was sick.
God, I haven't seen that in a while. Oh, watch that.
Yeah.
It's been a minute.
It's been a lot, dude. Wasn't your dad, like, good personal friends with Jeff Healey?
No, you always think that. He was a fan.
Did he know him?
I don't know.
Maybe he had him in his hotel or something?
Maybe.
I thought he was good, close, deep,
Yeah, personal you already friends said that to me, and I'm like, I don't know where you got that.
Now I just exaggerate it, and it's like a bit, but, you know, like, I thought your dad actually, like, kind of knew him a little bit. Like, he'd come in on the road, and he just kind of knew him. Like, not knew him, knew
he
him.
He knew
but,
Edgar
like,
Winter, and...
That's cool as fuck.
Or Johnny Winter.
Oh, gee, that's even cooler.
Yeah, it is.
And,
Johnny Winter's the shit.
Who stayed at his hotel that was Dick's? Sticks. Sticks was Dick's.
Yeah.
He said that, He said Sticks was all paranoid, thinking that everybody was out to get him. And it's like, he was like, you're Sticks. Nobody cares. Like,
yeah, nobody cared in the 70s.
And he said Eddie Money is the biggest prick he's ever met in his life. He said this girl...
Well, his name's Eddie Money.
He said this girl asked for his autograph. He's like, yeah, you got a pen? And she's like, oh, no. And he's like, what kind of fucking idiot asks for an autograph and doesn't have a fucking pen? And Jesus. The girl started to cry and shit.
Jesus. Damn, dude.
Yeah. It's like, you're Eddie Money. Calm down, Eddie.
You know, and I got a temper, too, you know? Like, that's just a lot.
Oh, yeah, you'd probably do that.
No, and...
If you were Eddie Money.
Well, I'm not Eddie Money. I'm Sean Nah Money. I'd just be like, damn, really? All right, somebody give me a pen. I would be like, damn, really?
Yeah, you'd be irritated.
But I'd be like, my bad, for real. I'm just, my head hurts today, and my left nut's not working, so apologies. Who do I make this out to? And, God, I haven't signed a titty in like 20 years. Oh, shit, ever, stop.
I was going to ask you about that one.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it just happened, you know, back in the day. I was requested, and it was in high school. I signed two boobies. I mean, like, upper boobies, it was totally appropriate, and I was in high school, too, so, Chase.
It was like a week ago.
Yeah, no, I ain't Diddy, I ain't.
It was at the last show.
The last show.
I'm just gonna fire this up in here.
I dare you.
You ain't do nothing to a man smoke a 100-length cigarette in a purple velour suit.
No, I'll just let you put the cherry of it on your own thing, turning your head and not saying anything. But yeah, I think that's I think the response we got. That's all the plans we got.
Oh, he's a man of few words.
Yeah, that's all the plans we got.
Come see us on New Year's at Air Devil's Inn. Free Creeps Response FMK. And all the drag you can handle.
And Creeps is on Spotify. FMK's on YouTube, but it is worth going through the trouble to listen to them on YouTube. They got a few good songs out there. They got Runner, Entropy. I keep wanting to call it Endoscopy. Devil on My Shoulder. And then they have a song called Closer. It's not a Nine Inch Nails cover. No. No, it's not. But, yeah, there's a shit. It's going to be a good show. It's going to be a great show.
Maybe. It's going to be a good show.
I'm rambling. Yeah,
sounds like it's going to be a great fucking show, especially for free. Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Yeah, we wanted to make sure, like, I don't know. Like, okay, we booked this a long time ago, but turns out Belushi's booked a show that night. And then, plus there's all types of other New Year's stuff. Yeah. So, you know, might as well make it to where, you know, Why pay to get in? And it also, like, with Air Devils and the regular situation, I don't want to have to deal with, like, charging some people that, you know, I don't mind letting the regulars in, you know, but at the same time, it'd just be easier to just have it free. Yeah. Anybody who wants to come can come and have a good time and, you know, there'll be a lot of glitter going on. Yeah, we're gonna have to bring our A game to compete with the drag queens.
Oh yeah,
dude, we got our A game. I'll be on my A game.
Yeah, it's gonna be.
Y'all can just ride my coattails if you
want. A lot of chest hair, glitter, Donnie and tights. There'll be a lot of tight stuff going on that night. A lot of us will be wearing tight clothes.
We don't know what I'll be wearing just yet.
My gut will be bulging out of a shirt that's too small for me.
Yes,
like Gene Simmons.
Wait, I'll throw this water bottle away. That's hurting me.
Well, I guess we've reached that point.
We have reached that point. I'm next reached that point.
Your next reached that point.
Yeah.
You should be proud, dude.
I know, but it still hurts.
Yeah.
It pinched a nerve and now my hand's all numb. So.
God damn, you had some aggressive ass sex, huh?
I try.
Well,
I try.
They're married, so it's healthy. It's no longer freaky and nasty. It's a healthy relationship.
Yeah, look, I'm not good at a lot, but what I am, I roll with.
And if anybody wants to remind me of the old days when it used to happen, help me revisit the old days.
The old country.
I only need about like a minute and a half. Don't worry, I won't take up too much time, and I might even make you a sandwich afterwards. But, Jeff, thank you for coming on.
Thank you, Jeff.
No problem, man.
And thanks for writing us up, dude.
Hey, no problem, man. Like, fuck, I had to write you on there.
So, thank you, everybody.
We'll see you at the holiday episode.
Watch out for the new EP, Ran Through by The Response.
And come see us New Year's. We love you.
We love you.